Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I want to begin my sermon by asking you to think about your favorite house chore. What is a task around the house that you actually find enjoyable? I like to learn this little tidbit about people because somebody's favorite chore inevitably ends up being someone else's least favorite chore. For example, I love to vacuum. I despise washing dishes. Anybody with me? Okay. But I know lots of people who love washing dishes, find it tremendously satisfying, and who would rather go to the dentist than vacuum. Now, despite the different preferences, though, the reason behind that enjoyment ends up being the same. We find satisfaction putting our homes in order. A messy kitchen is brought into order and all the dishes are clean. A dirty floor is more comfortable to walk on when all the grit and particles have been sucked up. There's goodness in bringing a house into order. So I want you to hold on to this idea while we think about the scripture readings for the day. The first two readings give us the awful juxtaposition of 2 Chronicles 36 with Psalm 122. In Psalm 122, we read about the joyful celebration of the Israelites as they make their way to Jerusalem to marvel at its beauty and to behold the temple. Listen again to how Psalm 122 begins. I was glad when they said to me, "We will go into the house of the Lord." And now our feet are standing right within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, it's built as a city that's at unity in itself. There the tribes go up to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. Can you feel the giddiness of the psalm writer expressing his excitement to arrive in Jerusalem, to draw near the temple, the very house of God? But while we're feeling that excitement of the psalm, we also have to think about what 2 Chronicles 36 gives us, a description of the horrendous destruction of Jerusalem and the pillaging and burning of the magnificent temple of God. Listen again to how it's described. The Israelites were exceedingly unfaithful. They polluted the house of the Lord that he had made holy in Jerusalem. The Lord sent them messengers because he had compassion on his dwelling place, but they despised his words. Therefore, he brought the king of the Chaldeans, who killed their young men in the house of their sanctuary, and all the vessels of the house of God he brought to Babylon, and they burned the house of God. Reading this account of the destruction of the temple right beside Psalm 122 is kind of like looking at beautiful pictures of New Orleans before Katrina. Or it's like seeing magnificent photos of European cities in 1935, knowing that 10 years later, they would be rubble and ashes. So what are we getting at? Why are we talking about the house of God in Jerusalem and its destruction? Well, to me, one of the most profound insights into Scripture that I've ever received was the concept of Jerusalem, the Jerusalem temple, as the dwelling place of God. This is something I never grasped for years. The temple that Solomon built in Jerusalem was the physical dwelling place of the presence of God on earth. God stooped to dwell among the Israelites in a building made of stones and timber. It was glorious, It was an act of God's great kindness and mercy to dwell among imperfect people, but that gift of his house was lost when Babylon burned it about 600 years before Jesus. But then it was rebuilt after the exile. If you remember your Bible history, after the 70 years in exile, the Israelites returned during the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, and they rebuilt the temple. And that temple, the second one, the rebuilt house of God, is the one that stood until the time of Jesus. So, in the life of Jesus, in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, we read a very alarming conversation between Jesus and his apostles there at that temple. It says this: as Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Rabbi, look! Look at these wonderful stones and buildings." You can kind of hear the excitement of Psalm 122, right? "We're in Jerusalem. Look at the buildings." And Jesus said to him, "You see these great buildings? There will not be one left here, one stone left upon another that won't be thrown down." You can probably imagine the confusion and the alarm of these young Jewish men as they stand and marvel at their temple, and Jesus tells them that it's going to be destroyed. They're probably thinking, "No way, not again, not like Babylon. That can't happen." But yes, Jesus told them, it would be destroyed again. This house of God would be torn down, and it happened in the year 70 when the Romans destroyed Jerusalem. So once again, what are we getting at? Why are we talking about God's house? What on earth does this have to do with your favorite chores? And what does any of that have to do with Lent? Well, hold in your mind the idea that the temple is the house of God, the dwelling place of God on earth. Okay, hold that in mind. Now we can go on and consider the other scripture reading given to us this morning from St. Paul writing to the Ephesians. Here's what he says: "You were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." In this very famous passage, Paul speaks beautifully about the great love of God, which took human beings inclined to rebellion against him, inclined to break the laws, the very laws we've been reading every Sunday in Lent. God's love took human beings, described as dead in trespasses, and gave us new life. Not dead any longer, just as Christ is not in the tomb any longer. We are alive with Christ. By God's great love and grace, he has saved us, not because our deeds earned his love, but because God is the same Lord whose character is always to have mercy, as we pray together every Sunday. But for a connection to the Chronicles and Psalm readings, we have to read just a bit further in Ephesians. At the end of chapter 2, Paul writes this: "So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. You and I, brothers and sisters, are the temple of God's presence. We are God's house. We are the dwelling place of God on earth. Because anyone who is in Christ has been filled with the Holy Spirit of God. That stone and timber building in Jerusalem was destroyed many years ago. But the true temple, the true house of God's presence, is not a physical building any longer. The true house of God's presence is you and me, the baptized, Holy Spirit-filled church. The church of Jesus Christ is the temple of God's presence on earth. Wherever you can find Spirit-filled Christians, there's the house of God. And this is all the result of God's enormous love and mercy and kindness available to people like you and me through the gift of Jesus, if we'll receive him by faith. So, bring back to mind your favorite chores. We bring our homes into order, right? We clean, and we vacuum, and we make repairs, and we tidy. Why? So that our homes can be warm, inviting, safe, beautiful places to live. Houses are for living. They're for welcoming. They're for hospitality. They're for comfort. Here's a question, though. What's the purpose of God's house? What is the purpose of God's house? Well, think with me about that time when Jesus went to the Jerusalem temple and he flipped over the tables and yelled at people and made the whip and drove everybody out, right? What did he say is the purpose of his Father's house? Jesus quotes the Old Testament where God says, "My house shall be a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves." Jesus said God's house, the reason God made his house, was to be a house of prayer for all nations. God's presence in the temple is for the welcoming of the nations into loving communion with their Creator. Why did Christ establish the church, the new temple of God's presence? You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. A city on a hilltop cannot be hidden. Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Why did God establish his house? To be a house of prayer for all nations. A warm, inviting, beautiful, safe, hospitable house of prayer and worship and repentance and love for all nations. That is the church, brothers and sisters. That is God's house. To be the place where sinners encounter God and find new life in Jesus Christ and become members of his family. The house of God is to be a blessing to the nations. So what about the season of Lent? Well, indulge me a little as I press the house metaphor a little bit more. Lent gives us the chance to do a little spring cleaning. In this season of fasting and repentance, think about it like an opportunity for spring cleaning in God's house. Maybe there's some clutter around the house of selfishness, or greed, or spiritual laziness. Maybe the gutters are full of bitterness, unforgiveness toward others, or impatience toward your spouse. Maybe way back in the fridge, there's those old leftovers of lust, gossip, or discontentment. Maybe our room is messy with disobedience to our parents and the lack of love for our siblings. The season of Lent calls us to interrupt our normal patterns of life for spring cleaning, for prayerful introspection and repentance. You can pray something like this: Lord, where's the clutter that's piled up around your house in my heart? Lord, are there any repairs to your house that you want to work in my soul? Lord, am I making your house unhospitable or unwelcoming or ugly to the people around me by my actions and habits? Lent is the time to do that spring cleaning in our souls, to make God's house well-ordered for the sake of the world. For the sake of the world, though, that's such a big phrase, isn't it? How about this instead? Grace Anglican Church, God makes us his dwelling for the sake of Gastonia, for the sake of Clover, for the sake of Belmont, for the sake of Dallas or Charlotte or wherever we live. God makes us his dwelling so we can show Christ's love to that person who lives next door to us, so that we can gently help a friend that we know is making a very big mistake in their life. God makes this his dwelling so we can listen to that person struggling with doubt and encourage them, so we can be light for that sick person in the hospital, so we can give a hug and support that person at work who's in grief. God makes us his dwelling so we can be a friend to that kid at school that doesn't have friends. God makes us his dwelling so we can take his love to the people in our lives and hopefully draw them into his house of prayer for all nations, where they can come to know him as their Savior and Father, just like we have. One last question, though. Doesn't this sound like an impossible task? How could an imperfect person like me clean up God's house when I'm the one who made it cluttered in the first place? Well, thankfully, we heard the good news from today's gospel reading. Jesus took a seemingly insignificant, negligible amount of food, a few scraps of bread and some fish. But in his perfect hands, it became sufficient to feed an impossibly large crowd. Brothers and sisters, in the hands of Jesus, seemingly insignificant things become perfectly sufficient to feed us for the life God has called us to. A book. A few moments in quiet prayer each day. An hour and a half every Sunday morning with this ragtag group of people. A tasteless bite of bread and a sip of wine. An encouraging conversation with a sister or brother in Christ. These small, seemingly insignificant things are the means by which Christ puts his power into our lives. He feeds us and strengthens us so that we can be the house of God for the sake of the world. According to my refrigerator Lent calendar that me and Samantha have, we are now halfway through Lent. Don't get tired. Let this be an energizer for your spiritual spring cleaning. If you love vacuuming, sometimes you have to wash dishes too. If you are great at the discipline of prayer, maybe your scripture study needs some attention. If you're very strong at serving others and working to be there, maybe your practice of rest and Sabbath needs some attention. If you're strong at teaching and instructing others, maybe your generosity is weak and needs a little attention. So let's go forth today in the sufficient power of Jesus to clean up our Father's house in his strength and his grace, to take his love and his invitation out to Gastonia and to the ends of the earth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.